720 WGN, John Hanson in for Mr. Dean Richards. Dean should be back next week, and we do our segment with the doctor from Northwestern, and we got Dr. Santina Wheat joining us today, Program Director at McCaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency. Dr. Wheat, thank you for coming on WGN today.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing really well. It's a pleasure to be here and to have you on. And I was just perusing through some health-related articles, thinking of, you know, different topics to talk about. And I was kind of struck by a few of them, including a report that scientists predicting that wildfire smoke will be the most costly climate-related health hazard. You know, we've been having this smoke the past couple summers, it seems to be getting more intense. And I'm just curious, you know, I know on a small level or an immediate level, you know, you don't want to be, if you got an infant, you don't want to have them out there, or elderly, or if you are, you know, a little immunocompromised to the smoke. But for the rest of us, is this perhaps a long-term concern as we go through summers that are a bit more smoky in our area?
I do think it's a long-term concern and something we have to pay attention to. It's not just, as you mentioned, those people that we always think of as being most at risk, but anybody that has any sort of lung disease, even if it's a little bit of mild asthma, which doesn't necessarily bother you, are really being impacted by some of the smoke that we've seen. And I've seen so many people that have had increased allergies and other things the past couple of years when we've seen these, that folks have had to just stay home and not go out because they've been affected. And I do worry that we're going to continue to see problems from this going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be pretty long exposures of the wildfire smoke to cause any serious damages. I mean, I think people's first concern is, if we breathe this in every summer, are we going to start seeing lung cancer cases go up even amongst previously healthy and not compromised people?
I think that that is a concern, and not just cancer, just increased problems in general. We see lung problems that are more than cancer. And so if we see having difficulty breathing, not being able to go outside and exercise, there's the other implications that happen with it too.
For sure.
So something that we would like to try to avoid.
And that's good to know too. The 847, by the way, had a quick question. 312-981-7200. Bird flu, I don't know if you've been following much of that. They wanted to know, are there any concerns with eating eggs like sunny side up, or eggs that aren't as prepared as well with the bird flu? We didn't prep you for this question, Dr. Wheat, but I'm just curious if you've come across anything like this.
So I haven't run into a whole lot with this. However, I do know that there is some concern about eggs that are not pasteurized before eating them. And so that's something to consider. And so if you are getting your eggs from a place that's not pasteurized, then you are a little bit more at risk if there's been anyone that's sick around. If it's your own farm, your own chickens, and you know that they're healthy, that's a little bit different. But it is one of the reasons why getting the pasteurized eggs can be helpful to help prevent this.
How do we know if our eggs are pasteurized? Are most of the ones at the grocery store pasteurized?
Yes, most of the ones at the grocery store are pasteurized. It is more if you're buying them in other places. And I am super supportive of all of our smaller farmers and think we should be doing that. But we just want to make sure that they know that everything around them is healthy.
Okay. There's a new commission out to unveil the first guidance with AI in partnership with health. And, you know, we don't have to go through all this, but I just think on a broad perspective, Dr. Wheat, what role is AI playing right now with maybe the work you do and the future of AI in health? There's a lot of exciting things that could be happening, but with them come worries and concerns about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I have all these mixed feelings about AI. So it's doing some great things for those of us who are taking care of patients. It's helping us get through things like our notes and making some of that better to help with the burnout of physicians. And sometimes it's helping with other things, which is where some of the guidance comes into, about helping make clinical decisions along the way, where it can look at someone's chart and say, maybe you're at more risk for this, or maybe we should be considering this medication. And all of that's really exciting and helpful and moving so quickly. But the problem is, it really depends on the information that's going in. So if we're not asking the correct question, we might be getting the wrong answer, or we might be getting a biased answer. And so I think that right now we need organizations to be cautiously optimistic about this, but make sure that they're paying attention to how it's going in and really double checking the information that's coming out. Because I have seen some interesting bad responses that were totally wrong. So it'll just be an interesting time as this all grows.
Yeah, the note-taking thing where maybe AI is listening and puts together a report of notes so doctors don't have to type it all out or write it all out and waste a lot of time doing that, or just so that maybe patients can get a rundown of everything that was said between the doctor and the patient. Lord knows we forget to take the notes, or a lot of people ask to maybe even record it on their phones because so much information is happening at once. I think that's a no-brainer, right? Like stuff that makes the doctor's job easier and maybe our job a little easier as patients to digest the information that's come in. But I think you're right. It's a little murkier when it talks about treatment. I use ChatGPT a lot, Dr. Weed, but even just like 10 seconds ago, 10 minutes ago, I asked it a question that it completely got wrong and you had to check it on it. I think it can be a tool as long as it's maybe not the driver of the health decision.
That is absolutely right. And that is what I run into myself too. I've asked it questions. It's come out with some interesting things, maybe even some fake resources. And so this is why it is really important that we know how to ask the questions and that we're verifying all of it.
Okay. Question from the 847. Doctor, I'm 77 years old. My doctor advises me not to get the COVID vaccine. What do you recommend I do? Obviously, Dr. Witt, you don't know the patient and the history, but generally speaking, COVID vaccines, as we approach a flu season as well, what's the latest guidance on this?
This is a really difficult question. Everybody is saying different things. What I can say is in that age range, the guidance is pretty clear that it's a good idea to get the COVID vaccine. It helps anytime you are older to make sure that you're being proactive about preventing any illnesses. And COVID is one of those. We see worsening in folks who are older and very young. For everyone else, the professional organizations are disagreeing with what we're seeing in the government, but ultimately it should be a shared decision-making between you and your doctor. If there's reasons why you shouldn't get it, maybe allergies to the components or having bad reactions before, that's absolutely a consideration. But most people can benefit from it and are not at increased risk and have more risk if they get COVID than if they were to get the vaccine.
Yeah. 847, I'd say, you know, maybe follow up with your doctor, ask the reasons why. Maybe you already did, but you haven't listed them there. I assume the doctor can tell you why, particularly, they don't want you to get the COVID vaccine if that's what they were saying. Always follow up, and I think that's important. Tell you what, Dr. Weed, I'm going to put you on hold. We got to take a break here. More with Dr. Santino Weed from Northwestern after this on WGN. Dr. Santino Weed continuing our conversation, Program Director at McCaw Northwestern Family Medicine. And Dr. Wheat, we are approaching flu season, I guess. When is the best time to get that flu vaccine? I feel like people always try and time it out. Like, I don't want to do it too early, but you don't want to miss the window. Any guidance on that?
Yeah, I think this one is tough and difficult for everybody to make for themselves. I would recommend getting it as soon as possible at this point. We are already starting to see a little bit of flu. We're already starting to see COVID also, it is just that season. And the important thing to remember is it takes a couple of weeks for the vaccines to be effective. So you want to make sure that you're getting it before all of the diseases around us. Yeah. So I usually tell people wait September, early October, and we are actually right there.
We are.
About that time.
I know. I can't even believe it. I saw the story in People magazine, which is not usually my first source to go for any health-related stories. But I found this fascinating because an Emmy producer discovered that she had lung cancer from a pre-nuvo scan, which she learned about from Kim Kardashian. It seems to be some sort of full body scan that just kind of checks everything. Do you know about these scans, Dr. Wheat?
You know, I've been starting to see about these scans, and there's also some blood tests that are coming through that are advertised in a way to help you find cancer. And I think that they're really exciting technology. I think it's something for us to keep an eye on. The problem is we don't have great understanding of how good of a job that they're doing. I'm so glad that this person found their cancer and is able to get treatment. But it's important to remember that even if you were to do something like this, it's just one snapshot in time and doesn't mean that there won't be cancer later on. But we don't have good evidence yet of how good of a job it does at finding things, how far along things have to be, and that it's any better than showing up with, oh, I have these symptoms that we would have already gone and investigated.
Yeah, see, that's always been my question. Why don't we all get an MRI every 5 years of our entire body? And I've heard different answers as to why that isn't the case. I mean, cost, of course, is one of them, and just clogging up the machines that other people legitimately need in those moments. You know, there's a lot of logistical concerns about it. But like all else being equal, if it was cheap and easy and everyone was able to do it once a year with their physical, why not do it? And I guess, Dr. Wheat, the answer is because, what, we don't know if it 100% catches everything, and then you go along thinking everything's fine, you ignore symptoms because an MRI result told you everything was A-OK, and then those symptoms grow, and then you're in trouble. I mean, is that the worry, that it gives you a false negative or a sense of safety and peace, even if you don't have it?
Well, there's that, and then there's also the flip side of maybe it catches things that aren't anything to worry about, and that also adds to worry along the way, and additional biopsies and hurt from that, that might not be helpful. So it's just not a good balance yet of doing a good job at finding things and also ruling the bad things out.
So it could find like a lump that is just a lump or something, and it's not cancerous, it's not malignant, and yet you're stressed about it. You get it out, you get it biopsied, and then that stress takes a toll on your body too.
Exactly. And the procedure takes a toll on your body. It's just not a zero-sum game.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. I've always been waiting for exactly why we don't do this, because that's always been my thing. Just strap us all in and let's do some scans every year. But I guess that makes sense. And to that point, I think it's really important that we listen to our bodies. I think that a lot of us, men particularly, will wait so long for just the most basic thing that it's kind of going a little different inside them to talk to someone about it. I imagine you'd advise the simple things, annual physicals, have conversations with your doctor. It's easier than ever to do it now.
Absolutely. And don't just wait for that annual physical. And if you've brought something to us and we didn't find anything and it changes and you become worried again, it's a reason to come talk to us again. We always want to help make sure that we find things and make sure you're living your healthiest life possible. So absolutely.
Well said. Any big plans for your Sunday, Dr. Wheat? You going to watch the Bears or no?
Oh, no. I'm just going to get my workout in and enjoy the day.
Spoken like a true doctor. Get your workout in and enjoy the day. Not an endorsement for Bears football this afternoon. But Dr. Weed, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good week.
And the program director at McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine. Let's take a break. We got news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.